Today's shiur is Masechta Bava Kamma, Daf Chav Zayin, and we will begin on Daf Chav Vav Amud Beis, 10 lines from the bottom. Vama Rabba, Zara Keli Miroi Shagag. If somebody throws a vessel off the roof, Ba'ach V'Shavar B'Makal, and now another person comes, and before this vessel hits the ground and breaks, somebody else breaks it, shatters it in mid-air, the loch is potter. That the second person is potter. My tama, why is he potter? Mana tvi retovar. What he has broken is a broken vessel, because this vessel is anyway on the way to being broken. Rashi explains that the Gemara is referring to a situation where it's the person himself who owns the vessel, threw down the vessel from the roof. However, most Rishonim say that there is no reason to specify that that's the case. The point of the Gemara is that if one person threw down the vessel to a place where it's certainly going to break, it's considered that he broke the vessel. It's interesting to note that, again, most Rishonim explain that if someone threw down someone else's vessel from the roof, in a way that it's certainly going to break, he is held responsible for the breaking of the vessel, for the hezek, and not the second person who actually shattered it in mid-air. However, the Ravid's approach in understanding the Gemara is that both of these people will be exempt. The first person is exempt because at the end of the day it was not he who caused the vessel to be broken, and the second person is exempt because, as the Gemara says, mana tavi retovar, by the time he hit the vessel would have been broken anyway. Continues the Gemara. V'amarava, zara keli miroi shagag, if somebody threw a vessel from the roof, v'aya tachtav karima kastos, and there were blankets or pillows on the floor, so this vessel would have fallen on the blankets and nothing would have happened. And then Ba'ach of a silken, someone else comes along and removes those blankets. A kadam of a silken, or he himself, the person who threw it down, was the person that removes those blankets. Der aloch again is potter. He will not be considered chayiv for throwing down the vessel. My tama, because be'idne de shajay, when he threw down the vessel, psuke mafsuke geri, his arrows were stopped, which means that the act of throwing that he did is not an act that would cause the vessel to be broken, and therefore he's not held responsible. The second person is also not held responsible, the one that removes the blanket, because he's only a grumma, and as we've learned, grumma ben nezakim potter. And the Rishonim point out that even though we're saying he's certainly not chayiv by Bezdin because he's a grumma b'nezokin, but maybe at least he should be chayiv b'dinei shemayim, because a grumma b'nezokin is improper, point out to Rishonim that in a circumstance where the person is the person who owns these blankets, and he took the blankets because they're his blankets and he needs his blankets, he will not even be considered a goyrim, a grumma b'nezokim. However, the Shach points out that if the person took the vessel, he's not the owner of the vessel, and picked up the vessel before he threw it down, he falls into the category of being a gazlan, and at that point, and because of that, he's going to be held responsible, even though when he threw it down, there were blankets there, if by the time it hit the ground, the blankets weren't there, and the vessel broke. However, the Chazon Ish disagrees with the Shach, and the Chazon Ish says that if somebody picked up somebody else's vessel and threw it, and was assuming that nothing will happen to that vessel, because he's throwing it to a place where there are blankets and pillows, and nothing will happen to it, he's not even considered a gazlan. Furthermore, however, asks the Chazon Ish, why is it not considered like a ruach metzuya? Meaning, in the case, the Gemara referred to two circumstances. And one of the situations that the Gemara referred to is not when somebody threw down the vessel and someone else removed the blankets and pillows. The Gemara also referred to a situation where the very same person who threw down the vessel was also the same person who removed the pillow. As the Chazanish, we've learned that the halach is that if somebody throws something beruach metzuya in a way that it's to be assumed that damage will happen, he is considered a mazik. Ask the Chazanish, in a situation where I throw down a vessel and I know that I'm going to remove the blankets and pillows, why is it any worse than a situation of Ruach Metzuya, and I certainly should be held responsible? Answers the Chazanish that the pshat of a Ruach Metzuya is that I have no control over the Ruach Metzuya. The Ruach Metzuya is going to come, and if it's something that, and it's something that I should expect or assume may come. However, even if when I threw down the vessel, I had the intent of removing the blankets, it's not certain that will happen. I may change my mind and not remove the blankets. And since it's not for certain that that's what's going to happen, it cannot be considered a situation of a Ruach Metzuya. Continues the Gemara. V'omer Rabba, Zorach Tinoik Merosh Gag. If somebody threw a child from the roof, and now another person came and stabbed the child before the child hit the ground. Says the Gemara, the question if anybody will be held responsible for murder in this case is actually a machloikis plukta Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira Rabbanon. It's a machloikis of Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira and the Rabbanon. Because says the Gemara, the Tanya, the Brisa says, he kur asara b'nei Adam basara makleis. If 10 people hit somebody with 10 different sticks, bein bas achas, whether they did it in one time, or whether they did it bezachazeh, or whether they did it in one after the other, the halacha, according to the opinion of the Chachamim, is that kulam, all of them are pturim. No one is considered a murderer in this case. And as the Rishonim explain, the Gemara, this is actually a Gemara in Masechta Sanhedrin. The Pasuk says, regarding murder, in Masechta, in the Torah, Vish kiyaka kol nefesh adam mois yumas. And there's a question how to understand that Pasuk. There's a question how to understand that Pasuk. The opinion of the Tanakhama is that pasuk is to be understood as only when you kill kol adam, when you kill in the entire person. In this case, you did not kill the entire person. The person died anyway. You only killed part of each one of us only killed part of the person. And since each one of us only killed part of the person, there is no chiyuv misa. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, however, holds bezachazeh, if they killed one after the other, so then the last person, the person who gave him the death blow, hachon chayiv, he will be chayiv meshikirei misosai. And again, going back to the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, the definition of pasuk v'ish kiyaka kol nefesh adam mois yumas is that kol nefesh adam means any part of the body, any part. So even if this last person who gave him a makkah was only responsible partially, he's still going to be chayiv. That's the way the Rishonim, that's the way we understand the machlokes of Yehuda ben Beseira and the Rabbanan. Applying it to our Gemara, therefore, according to Yehuda ben Beseira, if somebody threw down a child from the roof and someone else was the actual one that stabbed him and murdered him, so it's the second person who did the actual murder, according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, he'll be chayiv. According to Rabbanan, however, he will not be chayiv, because the Rabbanan of the opinion, you have to be an entire murderer. The question in understanding the machloikas Rabbanan Rabbi Yehuda, why, according to Rabbi Yehuda, does he hold that the second person should be any more responsible than the first person. Yes, Rabbi Yehuda holds that anybody who that murder doesn't require murdering the entire person. Even partial killing is killing. But why is the second person more responsible than the first? So Rishayim explained that one cannot be held responsible for murder unless he actually has a dead person. So when the first person did something, and certainly as we're learning that act contributed to the death of this victim, but we don't have a dead person now, and therefore it cannot be any chiyuv for misa. And actually this concept that we're now saying is a very important concept in helping us understand this Gemara. Because the Rishonim ask, why don't we apply in this case the same concept that we've been applying throughout our shir? And why, if somebody, Rachman Litzlan, throws a child off the roof, is he not considered mana tavira? Is the child already not viewed as a dead individual, that the first one should be considered doing, if anything, only the first one should be considered a murderer, the second one murdered a dead child? So the Rishonim answer, there's a difference between the Zikin, where we say the concept of Basa Mikara, where we say that we look at the initial act and view it as if it already accomplished the Hezek, versus Misa. But we need to understand, why is there a difference indeed between Nezikin and Misa, as the Rishonim say? Explains of Shimon Shkop. He says, by Nezikin, the Chiyuv is for the act of Hezek, of doing an act of being a Mazik. So if I throw something off the roof, that's certainly going to break. That's an act of chazik for which I am chayiv. However, explains Rav Shimon, by murder, the chiv is not for the act of murder. The chiv is that because of me, we have a dead person here. And that we don't have until the person is indeed dead, which was caused by the person who actually murdered him. Although the Rishonim do point out that even according to the opinion of the Rabbanon, that if each person, that if 10 people contributed to the death of an individual, all of them are potter, that's if each one, says the Rajba, each one gave him used a separate stick to hit him. But if two people hit a person together, and because of their joint act, this individual died, says the Rajbi, even the Rabbanon will agree that that would be considered an act of murder. Says the Paradis Yosef, now we understand why Paroi specifically had two Mialdois be involved in his plan to kill the Jewish children. Because Paroi knew that if one person acts as a murderer at his direction, it will be considered an act of murder that he was involved with. But we're learning now that if two people act together, then there is no act of murder. And that's why Paroi specifically wanted there should be more than one person involved in this act. Also, say the Mefarshim, the Pasuk says, regarding the person who was Mekoshish Eitzim on Shabbos, the first Mechal Shabbos, the Pasuk says, Rogoim Oisoi Ba'avonim. But the Mefarshim say that the Pasuk says that the Yirgmu Oisai Evan. Usually the Pasuk says Yirgmu Oisai Evan. He should be, a person who's Mechuyiv Misa should be stoned. Why over here, ask the Mefarshim, does the Torah specify Rogam Oisam Bavonim, that many people should participate in killing him? So the Mefarshim answer that they weren't quite certain if this Mekoshish Eitzim was actually Mechuyiv Misa. Because, as Rashi says in the Chumash, Mekoshish L'shem Shemayim Niskaven. He had an intent to teach Klal Yisrael the importance of Shmiru Shabbos. So now they have a question. Should they kill him if he's Mechuyiv Misa? Or should they not kill him because he's perhaps not Mechuyiv Misa? So the Pasuk specifies, Raga Maisam Bavonim, that many people participated in killing him. And as we're learning now, that when many people participate, it's not considered an act of murder. And like that, if he indeed wasn't Mechuyiv Misa, they will have not have committed murder. So now continues Rabbi with a similar situation. Boshav Kibble Bakarnov. A child was thrown off the roof. A child was thrown off the roof. And in the previous case, we had somebody going and stabbing this child. Here we had an axe being a geyach, this child. Will there be a chiyuv or not? Says the Gemara, plucked Rav Shmuel ben Melayisha Abriyachim Abriyach v'Rabbonim. And we're going to learn the Gemara as Rashi explains the Gemara. Says Rashi, certainly, our Gemara's discussion now is only according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira, who in our previous piece of Gemara was the man d'Amid that said that under this circumstance there would be a chiyuv misa for the second person, for the person who actually stabbed him. What would be the halacha here? So Gemara says it depends on how we understand the chiyuv kaifer, because we know that if a shor hamuad kills a person, we discussed yesterday, there's a chiyuv kaifer. But the question is, how do we assess that obligation? The Tanya, the Pasuk says, with Nosan Pidyon Nafshai, the main Nizik. According to the Tanya, according to the Rabbanon, he has to pay the value of the person who died. Rav Shmuel ben Melayisha Abriyachim Abriyachim, the main Mazik, we give the value of the owner of the axe. So now, this is the way Rashi explains the Gemara. If we say that Kofer is assessed according to the main Nizik, here this child, who's anyway going to die because he was thrown off the roof, has no value, and therefore there is no Demei Nizik here. If, however, we're going to evaluate with the Demei Mazik we still have here, because the Mazik is the murderer or the axe who's still the owner of the axe who's still very much alive. That's how Rashi explains the Gemara. Rabbeinu Chananel explains the Gemara just in the opposite direction. He says the Nizik, if we evaluate the value of the child, so we have to see what this child would be worth as a slave. But the Mazik really didn't do the murder himself. It was in combination with the person who threw him off the roof, and therefore there would be no Chiyuv Kofer here. V'yamarov, Nafal Merosh Hagag, if someone fell off the roof, V'niska B'isha, and he fell onto a woman, had relations with a woman who was lying on the floor. So Allah is chayiv dal dvarim. He's chayiv for all four hazekim, as we're going to learn in a moment. It's referring to ruach mitzuya. So it's a regular situation of hezek. However, it will be yivim talaykana. We know that a yavam has to marry a yavama. But the raisa, the only way it's accomplished is with bia. And we learned many times in Masechta Yevamis that the bia doesn't have to be done with the intention of making her his wife. Any act of bia would be considered a bia. However, says Al Gemara, that this act is so not considered an act of bia that she would not be considered his wife through this act of bia. In fact, I saw very interesting shaila from Ramosha. Ramosha asks, we know that a yevama is really an Eishes Ach, an Erva. But the Torah says the mitzvah of Yibum supersedes the Isser Eishes Ach. Asks Ramosha, maybe only when a mitzvah is taking place does it supersede the Isser. When no mitzvah is taking place, as Al Gemara is referring to, so she remains an Eishes Ach. So asks Ramosha, what would be the din if somebody had such an act of Biyah, which doesn't make the Yavama his wife, but a child would be born from that act? Would the child be considered a mamzer, because she now is considered like an Eishes Ach, or will the child not be considered an Eishes Ach? The Gemara says, Chai b'nezek tzar b'ripu sheves, in this case, the zechiv tzar ripu in sheves, ar boishes loy. There is no obligation for boishes. The Tanan, as the Mishnah says, ein chai v'al boishes achi miskaven, he has to intend to make injury. Here he had absolutely no such intention. However, says Rabba, nofam roish agag, b'ruach she'ena mitzuya, if somebody fell off the roof by ruach she'ena mitzuya, for hizik, and he did damage, u'biyesh, and he caused humiliation, chayiv al nezek, he's chayiv al nezek, or pot b'dal dvar, but he's not chayiv for anything else. Ask the Rishonim. We discussed in the previous year the question if a ruah, if oynes gomer, if somebody is does something but oynes gomer, even though we learned in the Mishnah and the Gemara yesterday, adam muad la'olam, what would be the halacha by oynes gomer? So ask the Rishonim, isn't our Gemara proof that if somebody falls beruach she'ena mitzuya, he's still chayef in nezek, that an oynes gomer is not exempt? Even though we quoted yesterday that the Rishonim Tosfos says that an oynes gomer is exempt from the zikin. So Rishonim resolved this question in a number of ways. The Bach suggests that there are different levels of oynes. And even though Ruach Shem Mitzuyah is certainly an oynes, we can't call it an oynes gomer. When Tosfos says that one is potter on the zikin by oynes, it's only by oynes gomer. Another answer is the answer of the Drisha. The Drisha says that when we say that there's an exemption for an oynes, that's only when he did damage to property. But when he did damage to another person, even those Rishonim will agree there is no exemption for oynes. Another teretz that the Lechem Mishnah suggests is that, yes, the person flew off the roof, beruach she'ena mitzuya, which is an oynes. However, a person going on the roof has to understand that laying on a roof comes with possible danger, comes with the possibility that he may fall off. And therefore, even though what actually happened was a ruach she'ena mitzuya, we can't call him an oynes gomer. However, if the ruach mitzuya v'hizik, if he fell off with a ruach mitzuya and did damage, there chay b'dal dvarim, he's chay for all the types of nezek besides boishes. But im nishapich, if while he flew off the roof, nishapich, he flipped over in midair, intentionally flipped over midair, then I'll be chayiv af al boishes. For as the Rishonim explain, by flipping over in midair, he is showing that he intends to do this act. Some explain because the easiest way to understand is the way the Yamsha Shloim explains. He's flipping himself over to purposely land on top of somebody else to break his fall, and therefore it's considered an intentional act. He's chayev or boishes, even though he had no intention to cause boishes. He only had intention to do this act. Where do we see, ask the Gemara, that as long as there's intention to do the act, there's a chayev boishes? The Tanya, the pasuk that teaches us the obligation to pay boishes, says v'sholcha v'yada v'chzika v'moshev. The pasuk is speaking about a case where a wife tries to save a husband from his attacker, and there the pasuk says she has to pay for boishes. So the question is, the tanya, the pasuk says that she sent out her hand any day shechzika, so obviously she held on to the person's private parts. Why does the pasuk also have to add the words matam aloim v'chzika? Loim aloch to teach us shneskaven lahazik. Even as long as he intended to do damage, even though he didn't intend to humiliate, that is already considered a situation that there's a chiyah boishes. V'yamarava, continues the Gemara, hiniach like a chelos alibay. If somebody put a burning coal on somebody else's heart, umes, and the person dies, the victim dies, the loch is potter. He's not considered a murderer. And the reason is because the victim himself should have gotten up. He shouldn't have left himself to die. And in fact, the Ramban says that this din would not only be in a case of murder, it would be in the case of hezek also. The victim should have made it his business to get himself, to get the coal off him. However, if somebody puts a coal, a big doy, on somebody else's garment, the nisrif, and the garment gets burned, then he's chayiv. Because when it comes to a material item, the victim could allow his item to get burnt, and he'll collect damages from the person who put on the fire. Amar Rava, says Rava, Tavaya Tanini. Actually, both of these halachas we learned in Brises. The Brises says Alibay, the halacha putting it on the person himself, that it won't be considered an act of murder. The Tanan Kovashal of Lotech or Lotech Amayim, if somebody put a person on the fire or on the water, then Yochel Alef Misham, and it's in a situation that the victim can't get out, and therefore he passes away, then Chayiv. The murderer is Chayiv for murder. If ever he was put into fire or water, the yoch laos misham, and the victim could have saved himself, and he chose not to, the mace, and he passes away, then the killer is potter, because he didn't do an act of murder, he should have gotten out. Big doy, the other halach that Rava teaches us, we learned, that nan, if somebody says to someone else, krask susi, you can rip my suit, Shvaras Kradi, you could break my barrel, Chayiv, and then the person indeed breaks the barrel or the suit, or rips the suit, he's Chayiv. Because even though he allowed the damager to damage the article, we don't say that he meant to absolve him from liability. So certainly in the case of Rava, where he didn't take the garment away, that he certainly will be held, damager will be held responsible. But if the victim clearly tells the damager, I'm allowing you to do this, I'm not lifter, I'm not going to have hold you responsible, then the halacha is that he's potter. So now ask the Gemara, boy Rabba, hiniach kecheles alev avdemavu, what would be the halacha if somebody put a coal on someone else's eved? And we're going to explain the Gemara's question as Rashi explains it. Rashi says, when we look at an Eved, we could look at an Eved in one of two ways. One way we could look at it is that the Eved is a person. And like we learned in the Gemara till now, a person has the obligation to watch himself and can't say, somebody else put a coal on me. It's not my problem. Of course, you have to get the coal off you. On the other hand, the Eved is like the suit of his owner. So the question the Gemara is posing, according to Rashi, is how do we look at the Eved? Kegufay dami, and therefore if somebody puts a coal on an Eved, it will not be considered an act of murder, it's like putting it on his suit. Imtim tzloima. So now ask the Gemara, if we will say, kegufay dami, putting a coal on an Eved, the Eved is a bardas, and he should have known to take the coal off. What would be the halacha shoyra mahu? If somebody put a coal on someone else's axe, the axe already doesn't have intelligence, and we can't expect the axe to shake off the coal. So what would be the halacha then? Hada pashta, abdik kufay, Eved is considered like a person, and the Eved should have shaken off the coal. And if he didn't shake off the coal, the murderer is not held responsible. Shoyra, however, who doesn't have intelligence is considered like Mamonoi, and therefore the person who put the coal on the axe that ultimately died will be held responsible. However, the Meiri points out that even by an axe, if the coal was put in a place, if the coal was put in a place where even an animal with minimal intelligence would recognize that it should shake off the coal from its body, then in that case, says the Meiri, and the Rashbam says the same, that the person who put the coal on the animal would not be held responsible. Hanun loch ketzer regel, hanun loch ketzer regel, hanun loch ketzer regel, says the Mishnah. Amniach es a kad b'shus rabim. If somebody puts a kad, a pitcher or a jug in the Rishus HaRabim, or Bo Acha Finiskaba, and somebody else comes along and stumbles over it and breaks it, with Shavrai Potter. The person who breaks the Kad is not going to be held responsible. However, Vim Huzukba, if the person trips over it and gets hurt, then the Bala Chavis is Chai Beniskoi, the Bala Chavis is going to be held responsible. Ask the Gemara. Pasuk b'chad, The Gemara first focuses on the wording of the Mishnah. The Mishnah begins speaking about a kad, and then sign b'chavis, and then changes wording and starts speaking about a chavis. And says the Gemara, v'tana nami. And we're going to learn another Mishnah later in the Masechta that we find the same type of situation. The Mishnah said, Zeba b'chavitoi, that somebody was walking in the Rosh Hashanah with his chavis, the Zeba b'karosai, and another person was walking with a beam, Nishbrei kadosh shozeh b'karosai shozeh, and there's a collision, and the kad was broken by the beam, potter. The owner of the beam is not chayev, because as we're going to learn, since he had every right to walk in the Rosh Hashanah this way, we can't hold him responsible. So again, ask the Gemara. We have a situation with a Mishnah Pasik Bechavis, Vesayim Bekad, Vetana Nami. And there's another Mishnah towards the end of the Masechta, Daf Kuf Tezvov, where the Mishnah speaks about a case. Zeba Bechavitei Shoyayin, this one is carrying his Chavis of wine. Vzeba Bekadish Shodvash, another one is carrying his honey. Nizdege Chavis Shodvash, and the jug that's holding the honey breaks, and honey in those times was more expensive than wine. So this person goes, pours out the wine to save the honey. The only claim that this person has is for his labor. He doesn't have a claim for his loss. And again, ask the Gemara, Pasuk b'chad b'sayim b'chavis. The Mishnah begins with a word of kad and ends with the word chavis. Amra Papa, says Rav Papa, Hainu kad, hainu chavis. Kad and chavis are really actually one and the same. So the Rishonim asked the obvious question, why do we need three Mishnayos to teach us the same din that kad and chavis are one and the same? Answer the Rishonim. We are to understand the Gemara that the Mishnayos are all coming to teach us the exact same lesson, that Kan and Chavis are the same. Because that's an excellent question. We don't need three Mishnayos to teach us the exact same rule. Rather, it's just the opposite. The way to understand the Gemara, these Mishnayos, is that since Kan and Chavis are one and the same, the Mishnah is never particular in what it mentions. Sometimes the Mishnah says Pekad, sometimes the Mishnah says Chavis. It really shouldn't be taken that much into consideration. Ask the Gemara, Lamai Nafkamina, what is the practical Nafkamina in saying that Kad and Chavis are the same, that the Mishnah speaks in these ways? Answers the Gemara, Lameka Chumemkar. It's coming to regarding business transactions. Ask the Gemara, that means if somebody thought he's getting a kad, somebody thought he's buying a kad and gets a chavis, or vice versa, it will be considered a valid transaction. And as the Rishonim explained it, let's say I bought from someone else, I thought I was getting a kad, and I got a chavis. So if I already paid for it, I can't come with a claim to the person who I paid saying I didn't get what I was supposed to. If, on the other hand, I didn't pay for it, and now I'm saying I don't want to pay because I didn't get what I was supposed to, I would have a valid claim. Ask the Rishonim, why can't, if Kan and Chavis, although the word, the terminologies are interchangeable, are indeed not one and the same, ask the Rishonim, why can't we know what the deal was supposed to be by what the price that I paid? Did I pay the price of a kad, or did I pay the price of the chavis? So some Rishonim answer that the difference in price between a kad and chavis is not that significant that the price should be a telling factor. Another way that Rishonim explain is that since that's referring to a situation that I bought many kadin and many I bought a whole lot of kadin. I paid $500 for a whole lot, and I got 10 kadin, and I said no, I was supposed to get 15 chavis, or vice versa. Ask the Gemara, hey chidomi, exactly what is the situation that we're referring to here? Elam, if it's referring to situation, but as for the kada lekaru chavis, for chavis lekaru kada, in a place where nobody, a kad is called a kad, a chavis is called a chavis. So holei karalei, we can't rely that the Mishnah the Mishnais use these words interchangeably, because as far as dine mamnis, as far as transactions go, we follow what is the terminology in the place that we're doing the actual business deal to determine what were the terms. Says the Gemara Loitzricha, it's referring to a place the Ruba Karla Kada. Kada, most people call a kad, or chavita chavita, and the chavis is called a chavis. However, v'ikanami there are some the kari lechavisa kad or kada chavisa, but the people call a kad a chavis and a chavis a kad. And the Tzofnis Paneach observes that it's the very same people that sometimes call a kad, and sometimes the very same people call a kad a chavis. So we see that this person uses both time, so he is not, it's not that the miyut contradicts the rive, it's just they're not makbid, and therefore mad tema zo basaruba, we should follow the majority, and most people call this, and therefore kad is a kad, a chavis is a chavis, kamash malan, then hochma mamon acha rive. When it comes to mamon, we don't follow the rive, and if there's some people that call a kad a chavis or a chavis a kad, the deal will stand. Ask Taisus, why don't we go after the Rive? Taisus asks that throughout Halacha, we do find that we follow the Rive. As far as Dina Nefashis, he says, for example, if there's a question of somebody murdered someone else, and there's a Din Taira, and Bezdin sits and judges that case, we follow the Rive. So for Dina Nefashis, ask Taisus, we're going to follow the Rive. And for Dina Mominis, we're not going to follow the Rive? Answers Taisus. Then we're talking about Dinei Nefashis, and we have a Bezdin that comes to a vote. The Miut is not counted when we're looking. The Miut becomes as if it doesn't exist as far as the Rive is concerned. But when we're talking in Dinei Mominis, it's not, you can't say that the people who interchange Kad and Chavis don't exist. They do exist. And therefore, Ein Hoch Memomen Achar Rive. So the Mishnah says, "Uba achav niskabav shavroi." If somebody puts a pitcher in the Rishus Rabbim, another person comes and stumbles over it and breaks it, potter, he's not responsible to pay for it. Amai potter, ask the Gemara, why is he potter? Ibayile liyunei lemezel. The person should have watched where he's walking. So Tosfos asks that Al Gemara is only asking a question in the Reisha. But what about in the Sefer? Why in the Sefer is the din that if somebody put down this pitcher in the street and somebody else fell, stumbled and got hurt, doesn't the Gemara ask the same question? So the Rashba says that actually the Gemara's question is not only on the Reisha, it's on the Sefer. Just that the Gemara asked the question first on the Reisha because we're going in the order of the Mishnah. However, Taisus disagrees with the Rashba. And Taisus says that the question is strictly on the Reisha. On the Sefer we could understand, I have a responsibility not to cause damage. That is a very strong responsibility. And therefore the Gemara clearly understands, says Taisus, that if I put down something and someone else got hurt, I am responsible. The question only is, why in the first case, if I tripped, am I not and I broke something, am I not held responsible? Amri Rav Mishmei de Rav, that the case of our Mishnah is referring to a situation where Mamala Rishus Rabim Kulei Chavis, where I filled up the Rishus Rabim with Chavis, and there was no way for the person to pass through the Rishus Rabim without walking through and breaking the chavis, otherwise he couldn't get through. Shmuel Amar Bafel Shana. It's referring in it's dark, and therefore I couldn't see the chavis. The Rishonim say that dark does not specifically mean night. Night might not be considered dark. Dark may mean pitch black, where it's impossible to see what's in the street. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Bekeren Zavis. It's on a corner, and the person, as he makes the turn, had no way of seeing that chavis there. Amar Papa. Loi Deikim Esnisen. If we learn the Mishnah seems to only follow Oik Shmuel or Rabbi Yochanan, the opinions of Shmuel or Rabbi Yochanan. Dik Rav, if the pshat in the Mishnah is like Rav, that the situation is a situation where I had no other choice because the Rishus Rabbim is full, Mayer Yeniskel. So why is the Mishnah referring specifically to a case where he stumbled, Afilu Shavar Nami, even if he broke it on purpose, he should have a right to break it because the Rishus Rabbim is because he has no other way to pass. Amrav Zvid, Mishmei Rava, Hu Adin Afilu Shavar. Actually, the day would be even if he purposely broke it, deliberately broke it, he would be potter. So why did the Mishnah specifically speak about a case of Nisko? The Haida Tani Nisko, because I did the Boilam Mishnah Sefer. Vim Huzik Ba, if somebody tripped and got hurt, Bal Chavis Chai B'Niskoi, the pitcher's owner is hired, responsible for the damages, the deer, Dafka Nisko, it's only when the pedestrian stumbled. Avish Shavaloi, but if he purposely broke it and got hurt while purposely breaking it, then the owner of the pitcher would not be held responsible. Why? My Tama, who does the Nashi? He caused himself the damage. So since the safe refers to a Niskel, that's why Ketani Reisha also Niskel. Amalei Rab Abel Rav Ashi, Amri B'marov Mishmeid Rab Ula, they said in Etzosol, the name of Ula, the reason why the person is not held responsible when he walks in the street and he breaks the pitcher is a klufish ain't dakish from the adam lesponim bedrachim. People don't watch where they walk, and as Tosfos points out, a person walks with his head up, looking straight. An animal, says Tosfos, walks with his head down, and therefore an animal sees what's on the ground, not a person. In fact, the Paiskim say that's why on Shabbos, if there's something dangerous on the street that is muksa, it may be removed. Because l'fisha ein daklish mei odom l'sponim b'drachim, people don't watch where they're walking, and they could get hurt, and therefore they should remove the item before anybody gets hurt. Of course, the Mishnah Berurah and the Paiskim say that if the muksa item could be moved, tiltel menatzad, not with a direct tiltel, that certainly would be better. Says the Gemara, have of the Menudah, there was an incident in the Udah for Chayiv Shmuel, and Shmuel said that the pedestrian was responsible for the broken item. But Badisa, the Chayiv Rava. Says the Gemara, Bishlam l'Shmuel, Kishmatse. We could understand that Shmuel says the only time that pedestrian is not held responsible is when it was dark. Here it wasn't dark. Ela Rava, should we say, Raymond Shmuel Sverle, does Rava agree with Shmuel? Amra Papa, Tana the Tsarahavi, the situation there was where a barrel was placed near the olive press. And when there's not enough room in the press, they used to line up the barrels outside of the press. And the kivin of Rishus Kavdi, so the people who put the barrels outside of the press had every right to put the barrels there, and the person who was walking should have watched where he's walking, and if he didn't watch where he's walking and he broke the barrel, he will be held responsible. Actually, I saw Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein says, based on this Gemara, an interesting shaila happens. Let's say someone parks his car, double parks his car in a way that a bus or other cars can't get by. And so the bus tried to get by. It was a tight fit, and the bus tried to get by, but he scratched or damaged the car that was double parked. He wants to suggest that since it's a situation of, as Rav said, of a malach rishus rabim chavis, that he caused impassable, if he caused a situation where it's impassible to walk through the Rishus Rabbim, where Rav says that in such a situation, so if somebody left his car that way, I and I passed by and I scratched his car because he did the wrong thing, I will not, and I had no other way of getting around the double parked car, says Rav Zilberstein, I would not be held responsible.